Praise the Lord. God is a good God. Amen. And the devil is still a bad devil. Are you happy to be here this evening? Oh, praise God, six people are happy. Are you happy to be here this evening? I'm so glad to be here back at BBTC. I was here almost a year ago, and a year ago is the first time I met Pastor Daniel. And then afterward, just meeting a lot of people from here and there in Singapore. And since that time, I just fell in love with your pastor, and especially the vision and the hand of the Lord that is rest upon this ministry. And so I am honored tonight to be back here and just to get the privilege of speaking God's word to you. Before I get into the word of God tonight, I just want to do a quick commercial. I just wrote a recent book called God Speaks Through People. I wrote several books, but this is just a recent book that I wrote because when God called me, one of the things that was there in my life that is using to just pray for people and speak over their life. And every time I go in many, many nations of the world, a lot of churches are kind of opening up, and some churches are really good at it, of hearing the voice of God in the prophetic ministry, praying for people. But wherever there is also prophetic ministry, there's also a lot of problems. Because there's no sense of proper guidance or direction. And not only that, there's nothing that helps the church really grow in it. Usually people that are in the prophetic ministry, they have more problems rather than healthy things that build a local church. And so I wrote this book, and I didn't want to call it the prophetic ministry or anything like that. I wanted it to be very simple. It's God speaks through people. Because the Bible says this, my sheep hear my voice. Amen. And the difference is when you hear God for yourself, we just call it hearing the voice of God. When you hear, but you also can hear God for others. And that's all the difference there is when you talk about prophetic ministry, is that you, now God is speaking things to release, to activate in the lives of other people. And so we have some books. I think there's a table somewhere. And so I think that's the only book that title that is there, God Speaks Through People. Tonight, I just wanted to share something very basic and very simple. To just kind of stir up your faith, to encourage you. And whenever I speak, I'm very simple. I like to, my dad told me this, the Bible is so simple, you need help to misunderstand it. And there is a lot of help in the world. And so we'll have to keep it simple. And I want to speak on this title called Inheriting the Promises of God. We read a verse that is there, but I'm going to pick up a verse in just a moment. But I just want to pray quickly as we get into that. Okay, is that okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. And this evening I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and partner with us. Speak into our life. Lord, you know each one of us and where we are and what we need to hear and what we need to be directed by, I pray, O God. And so, by your Holy Spirit, speak clearly. Deposit faith. Open up new doors, I pray, O God, and give us courage to walk in the direction of our destiny, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, whenever I travel around and I meet people and go to churches, I begin to realize that there are those people who I call, they are living on what I call a survival mode. They're just trying to make it through life, you know. For them, their life is pretty much routine. You can exactly know what they're going to do probably the next Thursday or two Thursdays from now or a month from now. And they can't keep their head above water. They're just kind of, it's just survival. It's just trying to, the whole idea is trying to make it through the day, make it through the week, and make it through their job, and make it through church time, and make it through their family things, and make it through the year. And there's just a sense of just survival. Nothing new really happens. Nothing new really takes place in there. There's no joy. There's no excitement. It doesn't seem like their life has any progress to it. They're what I call people in survival mode. And there are very few that I would say that they're what I call, they live in what I call significance mode.
that they live lives in such a way that there is progress in their life. They live life in such a way that there is such a open door in their life to make a difference in other people's life. That doesn't mean that they don't have problems. They might have more problems. But there is tenacity, courage in their life to constantly plod and move forward. And so when they read the Bible, it's different. They look at the scriptures and look at the pages of the scriptures and they look at their life and they do and find everything possible from what's on the paper to have it evident in their life. There's a sense of openness. There's a sense of progress in their life. And so tonight, I don't want to box you in and I don't want to say you are like this, but at least looking at it two different ways, how would you describe your life? Are you living life in what I call survival mode? Because when people are in survival mode, their whole autobiography of their life, somewhere along the line, comes in two words. They say something like this to me. Well, Pastor, I'm just stuck in life. Pastor, I'm frustrated. I'm empty. I'm alone. I'm not satisfied. Where would you describe your life? Are you just in survival mode? Or are you in significance mode? That there is drive inside of you. There is courage inside of you. Even if you fall, you pick yourself up. You say, you know what? Listen, what God has in front of me is much bigger than what I'm going through now. I'm going to consistently, constantly plod through. How are you living your life? Where are you? And one of the things that we know in the Bible from cover to cover of it is that God has great promises in our life that can be placed in front of us for us to keep moving forward. You know, for the last few months, what's interesting to me as I travel, among many things, what's highlighted in my travels recently, that everywhere I go, especially in the churches and especially among leadership and especially among believers, how many people are just at a place that they just want to give up? They're going to give up on God, give up on their families, give up on their children, give up on church. They're just ready to throw in the towel and call it quits. But I want to say to you, listen, you've got a God who's for you and not against you. You've got a God who has made certain promises that are life-giving to you. And so this evening, I just want to kind of go through some scripture verses that you know, and just kind of bring it out and put it in front of your eyes and say, hey, let's believe God. And let's together press forward to what God has, and let's inherit the promises of God. Amen? The Bible says this. Can we all read this together on the screen? Okay. Let's read together. It's not a competition who can finish first. Let's read it together. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given us to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen? I like this scripture because the scripture tells us two great things. He said, listen, God has given us exceedingly great promises. And these promises do two things for us. Number one, it causes us to participate in the divine nature of God. Number two, it causes us to escape the corruption, the present corruption that is there in this world. Amen? These are great and exceeding promises. These are not made by somebody that is empty. This is made by a God, the Bible says, who does not lie. The Bible says it's impossible for Him to lie. The promises He makes, He says, yes and amen. And so when you read the scriptures from cover to cover, there are great things that are offered in the Bible. There are promises that are there regarding healing. There are promises there regarding your family. The promise is there regarding your walk with the Lord, regarding your heart. Almost every area of your life is covered with some great, exceeding promises. They are yes. They are for you. Even in terms of relationships, they are for you. Last maybe 6 weeks or so, I've been going through a season in my own life in preaching that's very heartbreaking to me. Because in the last 6 weeks, I've been meeting people, and even when I go to churches and things like that, the Lord is having me to speak on relationships, especially in the family. Because there are so many children who have no relationship at all with their parents at all. Don't even talk. They probably live in the same house, but never talk. There are so many children. There is no life-giving communication between the parents and them. It's amazing. I was in the church 2 weeks ago and I preached a message. And there's a church, quite a large church, and I spoke to the families and I asked the people that are there. There were about 200 some couples, husband and wife, parents that were there. I asked them stand and I asked a simple question and I said, how many of you have a good relationship with your children, that they live in the house or they're not living in the house, but there is some kind of good communication, you have a healthiness, they talk to you? And I was shocked that more than 80% lifted their hands and they said that my children don't even speak to us. There are teenagers, don't even speak to us. I said, but they live in the house. He said, yes. And I thought, and you're Christians and you're in the church and yet you have not seen transformation take place in your families. And it's amazing how many people. Just last Saturday, I was having lunch with about 3 people and I just asked them a simple question and I said to them, hey, listen, when is the last time you... And they were probably in the age category of maybe about 18 to about 26 years old. And I said, when is the last time you said something appreciative to your dad or to your mom or to said that you love them or the fact that you just said something nice to them? They said, don't talk to about my parents. And these guys were leaders in the church. And I said, what do you mean, don't talk to your parents? He said, don't talk to us about parents. We don't talk to... I said, but... what happened? He said, I said, don't talk to me about my parents. And I was surprised. And I want to say to you this evening that, listen, God's word is not there for entertainment. God's word and God's promises are there that encompass every area of our life. It's just not about going to heaven and about salvation and all those things. Listen, there is a transformation that needs to take place in every area, including our relationships. There are promises that God makes that He'll turn the hearts of the children towards the Father. God makes these promises regarding couples. God makes these promises regarding families. And so it's important that we take the scriptures and say, Lord, I want to believe your word for change and transformation in my husband or in my wife or in my children's lives. There are exceedingly great promises. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12. It says, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. The NIV says something like this. It says, do not become lazy. No, I didn't call you lazy. The Bible says, don't become lazy. I like the Amplified. It says something like this. It says, that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards. Wow. The Bible uses some strong words. I like the Weymouth translation. It says, that you may not become half-hearted. There are many people I see that once they get a little bit comfortable in their life, because most people before salvation, we are what we call self-centered, selfish. All we think is about us. And what should happen in a salvation and transformation of our heart is that we no longer think about ourselves. That selfishness, that pride, that ego dies and we start thinking about others. But most people live their life and start feeding their selfishness. As long as I am happy, as long as things happen for me, but they never think about others. And so as long as things are going good for them, they probably don't even care about their brother, sister, parents, friends, church people. It's all I. And when it's okay, we suddenly become, slowly we lose out why things are happening good in our life. The Bible says, listen, do not become sluggish. Do not become lazy. Do not become hard-hearted. Do not go disinterested. But by faith and patience, inherit the promises of God. If there's anything that I see in a lot of people's life is that many times they start out good, but somehow they get distracted. Somehow they take an exit in life. Somehow they start getting lazy and start getting sluggish regarding the promises of God. There's no constant pressing in and growing to what God has for their life. There's no constant change taking place in their families. You know, today I have my youngest brother with me here also. He's here in Singapore for Tung Ling and he's studying. But I thank God for my family. We are three brothers. I'm the oldest. I got a second brother, Ricky, and Josh, who's here, who's the youngest brother. But when I look at our lives and I look at our families, and every time I find myself preaching, I find myself always talking about my parents and always talking about my dad and mom, because I began to realize that they took seriously the Word of God. You know, my dad is somebody that is like a role model to me. My dad is a guy who is passionately in pursuit after God. There's only one thing I know about dad is that if you stay in our house, and you get up any time in the morning, my dad never gets up after anybody. He's always the first one in the house who's up. My dad never missed a day in his life that he would first get up, mom first get up, and first they would devote their time in the Word and in prayer every day, at least 2 to 3 hours. My dad's been in the ministry for over 47 years now, 47, 48 years now, and not one day has he ever missed his time reading his Bible. He reads the Bible in 7 different languages. He's read the Bible over 430 times in 110 different versions. He's what I call the Bible man in our house. You know. But everything that is there in his life, he revolves it around the Word of God. And so when we grew up in a house that put everything, direction, our sight, everything that we do, centered around the Word of God. Not getting sluggish. And I've seen him over the years, even in this age. He's 69 years old. I'm 37. Just 3 days ago, I turned 37. But he's got more energy than me and my three brothers put together. He hardly sleeps like 3-4 hours a night. Okay. But there is something in the Word that is empowering in his life. It doesn't matter if he has to get up and catch a flight at 4 o'clock in the morning. He'll go to sleep, get up at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock at midnight. First, he'll take his time and read the Bible and pray for at least an hour and a half. 2-3 hours every day, he's in it. And I never became sluggish in all these years. Not even for a day. Not even for a day. Why? He puts central the Word of God in his life. I want to say to you this evening, what is it that God has spoken to you? What are the promises that God has given you individually? What are the promises that God has given you as a family? What are the promises that God has given you maybe as a church? Are you constantly pursuing it to see the fulfillment of it in your life? What are the promises in terms of maybe your individual life, in terms of your family? What are the promises? sometimes we pray for something, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a month, and if it doesn't happen, we just kind of let it go. We start praying for our children, maybe praying for our spouse, and so if it doesn't happen in a month, listen, forget it. I got my own life to live. And we just kind of... But tonight, I want to say to you, listen, by faith, and the second word, perseverance. Perseverance. If there's anything I learned in life, especially in my walk with God, listen, persevere. Don't give up. Persevere. Grab hold of the promise of God in your life. People become sluggish because they lack vision and expectation. People become sluggish because they have an unhealthy self-image. They think, well, why would God do it for me? I'm not deserving. And usually it's there because we start comparing ourselves with other people. And most of the New Testament, almost in every book of the New Testament, you find this Paul addressing to churches, and somewhere in the book, you find him always talking to the people and say, listen, stop comparing yourself with so-and-so. And many times people have an unhealthy self-image. We become sluggish and lazy and disinterested when we have things in the past, negative things that are still yet to be dealt with. We become sluggish and disinterested when emptiness sets in. When emptiness sets in. When emptiness sets in. Why? Because we're always maybe giving and giving and doing things. And sometimes we give a false image to people. Many times even being in the ministry, I just had a friend of mine who pastors a large church. He's got about 9,000 people in his church. And just last month, he stood on the pulpit at the church and he says, I quit. It was a shock to everybody. He just says, I quit. He says, I'm not sinned, I'm not done anything wrong, don't worry about it. He said, but I'm just empty and I'm leading the church in empty because you only see me Sunday morning. He said, but there's an emptiness. I need a fresh vision. I lost vision. I lost passion. I don't know where I'm going. And so in order to do a good job, he says, I quit. I need to go and recover. And there are many people like that who are living life in just a sense of emptiness. They become sluggish. In the Bible, when we talk about inheriting promises, there are just four things I want to say to you very quickly. Number one, we know that we inherit the promises, number one, by what I call favor. Can everybody say favor? There are some things in our lives, they happen just by sheer favor of God. Amen? Just by favor. Not that you're deserving, not that you're going after something, but this is God in His nature. The Bible says, I will have mercy on whomever I want to have mercy. I'll bless whomever I want to. And so there is an area of God that He just wants to show favor to people. Amen? And so we see certain things. I look at my life. There are a lot of things that happen in my life. The only word that I can use for it is just by the favor of God. And I want to tell you, favor will bring things in your life that money can never bring. Favor bring things in your life that your education can never bring. And so I want to say to you, there are many promises that come into our life just by sheer favor of God. Number two, there are promises that come in our life is what I call just because you're fed up. Say, Nikki, what do you mean? There's a lady in the Bible. Her husband had another lady in the house. That lady could produce children, she could not produce children. And the Bible says Hannah, in her desperation, went before the Lord and poured out her heart before the Lord. She was just fed up of the pain of being unfruitful and barren in her life. But she did not just have a self-pity party. She took her desperation and her being fed up and she directed properly to the source of her life. And she directed to God. And God, in her desperation, answered her. And one of the things I know about God is that whenever God answers, He always does it exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think or imagine. She just wanted a child. He said, God, somehow, someway, you give me a child and I'll give it back to you. Just give me a child. But you see, when she directed her desperation, God not only gave her a child, He did something that is exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, think or imagine. He gave her a prophet to the nation. The third thing I know about inheriting promises of God is, number one, some of them come through favor. Number two, some of them come because you're fed up and you learn to take that state and channel it to God. And number three, the third thing I know is that some promises come through what I call friends. What that simply means is God uses people. There are some things in your life will never happen unless you start opening yourself and saying to God, God, I'm okay for you using people in my life. I always tell people, God has a habit of using people who you do not like to open a door for you, to be a blessing to you. Because suddenly you begin to check your heart. Do you really want a door open from God or not? You've got to recognize the people that God sends in your life. And so the third way we see in the scriptures that many times we inherit the promises of God just by recognizing the people that God put in and around us. Am I making sense? The fourth way that I see in the scripture that we inherit the promises of God is we inherited the promises of God, of course, as it says in Hebrews 6:12, by faith. By faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so the fourth area that I would say is that is the faith in our lives. And when we talk about faith, we have to talk more on our responsibility rather than God's responsibility. Many times we don't talk about our own responsibility. And the Bible says to you and me that, listen, faith along with perseverance helps us to grab hold, to inherit the promises of God in our life. I want to just for the next few moments take an example in the Bible. An example I want to take is from the life of Joshua. And then I want to just say one, two things and I'll shut up and sit down. Because Joshua in the Bible is a great example of someone who by faith is inheriting the promises of God. For the nation of Israel, God raised up three people, and among the three people, two were very key when it talks about possessing the promises of God. Number one was Moses. God used Moses, who took the children of Israel out of Egypt and brought him to the wilderness and brought the nation of Israel right at the edge of the, in a sense, the promised land. And then the second person was Joshua. God used Joshua and raised him up, and he took the people from the edge of the wilderness into the promised land, and every day helping the people to inherit the promises that were given to him. And so what I want to do is just go to Joshua chapter number 1 for a moment and just say a couple of things very quickly. We know the story. I won't read the scripture verses, but I'll just say these three things and I feel like saying to you, and then I'll just sit down. Number one, if you're going to inherit the promises of God, we see a pattern that is there in the book of Joshua. Number one, God said to Joshua, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. Number one, God was saying to Joshua, Joshua, listen, it's a new season now. The season of Moses is over. The season of what we have, how things used to be done is over. That season is over. Now there is a new season that has taken place. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 2 verse 20 onward, it says, times and seasons are in the hand of God. And one of the things I learned in my life is that we need to learn to live life according to the seasons that God brings us in and through. Now, in Singapore, it's very hard to talk about seasons because you just have three seasons, hot, hotter, and hottest. But in America, at least we have some sense of season, at least where I come from, you know. And we have what I call springtime, and then spring takes you nicely into, you know, summer, and then, you know, fall, and then winter. And what we realize is this, that every season, you know, you ask people, what season is your favorite? This will, I like it nice and calm. Everybody likes it nice and calm, but you gotta choose one, you know. Because whether you like it or not, you're going to go through those seasons. And so I ask you, what is the season you like? And everyone, well, I like this season, I don't like that season. But we have to realize that each season has its blessing. Each season has its pleasure. Each season demands a change. Each season demands a change of thinking. For example, when we're in the winter season, we have to change our ways. We have to change our thinking. That we have to change everything that we do. Many times we have to get up early because there is snow outside and there is cold outside and you can't just sit in the car and go to work. You have to get up half an hour before and take hot water and melt the snow and prepare the car for 1 hour just to drive. And so it changes our way, it changes our concept, changes priorities, how we manage time and everything. In the same manner, what I want to say to you is that each of you, you've got to know what season you are in. Because if you don't know what season you are in, you'll get discouraged. You'll look at somebody else's season and say, well, if this is happening for that person, why isn't it happening for me? Listen, stay in your season. Enjoy your season. There may be something that God is doing right there in your life, in your heart, in your family, in your finances, that is aligning. And so, know your season. Know what season you are in. Know what responsibilities are in that season. Many times churches do not know their season, and people do not know the church's season, and so they cause problems. They say, what about that church? That church is doing this, and that church is doing that, and that preacher is doing this. Forget about it. Know what season you are in. Know what season your family is in. Know what season your church is in. So you embrace responsibility. You know what to do. You know how to behave. You know what God is working in. God said to Joshua, Joshua, you've been living a certain way till now. You've been doing certain things till now. But listen, you've got to embrace a new season now. And that new season comes with new responsibilities. I want to say to you today, number one, embrace a new season. Discover what season you're in. Discover those things that are dead. Call it dead and let go. Let it go. There are many people who don't want to let go what's happening in one season. And please understand, when you do something in one season and take it to another season, you'll destroy your life. In one season, David was a giant killer. He liked to go after giants and he had the strength and courage and motivation. But that was a season. There's a season for killing giants. And the Bible says this a little bit later in his life. The same giant killing anointing he thought he had. And so he went after people. He went in war and almost died. And his leaders came to him and said, hey, David, listen. I know you killed giants before, But right now it's a different season for you. This is what you need to do. You need to sit here and you just need to glow and shine for Israel. For you are the King of Israel. You sit and shine. Let us go and do the work. He was trying to do something that he was good in one season, in another season. I want to say to you, there are many times we don't inherit because we have not learned, number one, what season we are in, and we have not learned to embrace that season. The season has changed, but we are still the same, doing the same thing. Second thing I want to say to you very quickly is this. Number two, embrace a new warfare strategy. That means every season, God's going to speak to you a strategy for that season. God said to Joshua, he says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness to this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Now, please understand, this did not make sense to Joshua. God gave him exactly boundary lines. And he said, from the north to the south, from the east to the west, this belongs to you. But you still gotta go and walk on it and put your foot there. That means if you don't walk on it, it's not yours. You see, when we talk about the promises of God, cover to cover of the Bible, there are promises, but that doesn't mean you're gonna have it in your life. What that means is, there's responsibility. God, in this season, what is the strategy that I need to embrace? What is it that I need to do in this season? For those things to come to fruition in my life. Because what worked before will not work in this season. What worked before will not work in this season. Most people live life in what I call autopilot. When they get used to doing something a certain way, it's the same old, same old. They live life in autopilot. And so I want to say to you the number two thing. You must embrace a new strategy. Ask yourself, God, in this season, what do I need to do different? What is my strategy? Because sometimes you can live life in autopilot and doing the same thing, and same thing, and you're wanting different results. The third thing I want to say to you and bring it to close is this. That you must embrace a new strength. You must embrace a new strength. God says to Joshua, not just one time, several times. And one of the things I learned in the Bible, when you read the Bible, there are sometimes God would say, beloved. And whenever God uses the word beloved, you know something's good, something not good is coming. Whenever the Bible tells you a couple of times, be strong and be very courageous. Be strong and be very courageous. Be strong and be very courageous. You better be very strong and very courageous, because I say something like this. God is the shepherd. His eyes are here. You are the sheep. Your eyes are here. There are things that God sees that you fail to see. And so based on His seeing, He speaks into our life. He deposits things in our life. And so every season will also have a strategy, but every season will also have a new strength that you need to embrace. And you say, God, what is it that you're depositing? What I need to open my life to, that you need to really inject me for in this season. These two words I want to pick up and kind of tie it up together. God says to Joshua, Joshua, be strong. And then he says, be very courageous. In the Hebrew language, the word strong is the word called chazak. And what it means to lay hold of something. To get a grip over something. Lay hold. Get a grip. Okay. Hold on tight. Okay. Seize something. Okay. It's like taking something and he said, listen, put your hand around it and get a grip. And then the second word is the word called amitz. It means not only get a grip, it means tighten the grip. Tighten the grip. Tighten the grip. Don't become flabby, weak. But keep tightening the grip. Don't go weak. Keep going stronger. Tighten the grip. And so God says to Joshua, Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Joshua, get a grip and keep tightening that grip. 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 I want to say to you, embrace a new strength by getting a grip over those things that God has spoken. And keep tightening that grip. Because sometimes when things happen, what God said, things happen that are opposite of what God said. Here is Moses. God says to Moses, listen, you are the deliverer. I'm going to raise you up. And Moses is not believing it. But God performs miracles for him. And so he has some sense of courage and says, okay, I'll try to do this. And he goes down to Egypt and talks to the people and says, listen, God sent me. And God's going to use me as a deliverer. And everything opposite takes place. Matter of fact, the people say, listen, we don't want you. Matter of fact, Pharaoh says, listen, make the bonds of the people stronger. And many times when we're going towards getting hold of the promises of God, opposite things take place. Opposite things take place. Opposite things take place. But you must tighten the grip. 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 One lady came to me in a meeting and she said to me, Pastor, pray for me. It is because my husband beats me up. We have a daughter that's 8-year-old. Beats me up in front of her. And then she opened certain parts of her clothing and she showed marks in her body. And she said to me, Pastor, I don't know what to do. When I married him, I thought I'm married in the will of God. And when we prayed, I felt everything comfortable. But he says, from the day of marriage, everything went the opposite way. We've been married now close to 9.5 years or so, and there's not one day that I've had peace in the house. He said, many times things happen and all kinds of, that there's just such turmoil. But another thing that she had, she said, I went to so many meetings. My husband doesn't allow me to go to meetings also. He's not a believer. If he finds out, he'll get upset and he'll do things. And she said, I have to sneak out and lie and go to act like I'm going getting groceries and stuff, and then I come to meetings and things like that. And she said to me, I'm fed up. He said, matter of fact, when you preached tonight, I didn't want to come for prayer. She said to me, every time I come for prayer, he says, I can't go Sunday morning because obviously, my husband, you're going to church or something. And so whenever there are special meetings, that's the time I go to church because it's during the week, in the nights, and usually it's guest speakers in this church. And he says, every time a guest speaker comes, I go for prayer and they will prophesy over me. And when they prophesy, they'll say about my husband, they'll say about my family, they'll say all these nice things. And he says, I get very angry. See, because every time they say nice things, that whole week is usually the worst week in my life. He said, when God will say something, he says, it torments me. He says, I think I have more prophecies over these last few years than I know what to do with. He says, I'm just fed up. And she says, I don't want you to prophesy. And I don't want you to pray for me now. I just wanted to tell you this and I'm leaving. And it reminded me of the scripture which is in the Bible. The Bible says regarding Joseph, I think it's Psalm 105. It says, and the word of the Lord tormented Joseph. And the King James uses the word tormented. And I thought, you know, how can the word of God torment you? And many times it is like a torment that you feel, because many times God is saying things and the opposite takes place. I mean, you look at Joseph, that God says to Joseph, listen, the sun is like this, the moon is like this, and the stars are like this, they're like your family, and this will happen, and that will happen. But it's like downhill every part of the way for him. Anytime something good happens, he just keeps going down. He tries to do good, he just keeps going down. He's thrown in the pit, brothers throw him, gave a false report to his father. When he's in the palace, you know, he's again thrown in the prison. It's just downhill. And sometimes you say, my goodness, all the things that God said, I don't think it will happen. I don't think it will happen. And so she said to me, I said, listen, I know exactly how you feel. I said, I don't know what you feel as far as the family and things like that. But I said, I know what you feel when it comes to the Word of God and people prophesying and speaking into your life. But I said, listen to me. Let me speak to you 2-3 minutes and let me pray for you. I know you don't like prayer. I know all these people have said things like this, and I'm not like somebody different from all these people or anything like that. But let me just say something to you. And I said some things to her that night. And I pulled up this verse and I said to her simply this. I said, listen, I want you to be very strong and very courageous. And I said, God will see you through. I said, don't ever think that all that you have been through, okay, that God did not bottle up your tears and God is not watching over His word. He'll bring something good out of this. And I prayed for her that night. She hugged me and she didn't want it, but I prayed and I prophesied over her. I said, you watch. I said, in the next few years, I said, your whole life will change. I said, what you thought about your husband at this time, I said, is what people will see, and what you'll see is a complete transformation. And I gave her some prophetic words and things like that. And I forgot about it. 5-6 years later, I was back in the city at another church doing a conference. And when I was doing a conference, there was this couple sitting on the right side. Their eyes were, face were beaming. And I didn't know who they were, and it has been like 5-6 years ago or something like that. Before I saw this lady, and the meeting ended, and she came, and I couldn't figure out who it was because it was so long ago, and she came and hugged me, and she kissed me. He said, do you remember me? I said, I don't remember who you are. She said, you remember you came to this church 6-7 years ago, and this is what happened, and that's what happened, and I showed you how my husband used to beat me up and this me. I said, yes. I said, who is this? He says, my husband. I said, what happened? She said to me, I went back home, and just like I said, it was the worst week of my life. Again, my husband beat. He says, we come from a very well-known family, so I can't leave and do things like that. But what you said to me, I held on. And I said, I am going to persevere. And although he is beating me and although he is doing that, I prayed, and this is what I said to God in front of his. It doesn't matter what you do to me, but before God, I thank you for putting you in my life. You are God's gift to me. That's what she said, verbally. She said, a matter of 2 weeks, everything changed. One day I came home. She said, we don't even have a Bible in the home. One day I came home, my husband was sitting on the sofa with our daughter, and he was reading the Bible. He said, I didn't say anything because that never happened. It's from the day I got married. She said, I don't even know where he got the Bible from. So I kept quiet. He says, few weeks later, he says, Easter time came. I didn't say anything. There's no plans to go to do anything because we don't go to church. He doesn't even know. I go sneakily. He said, out of nowhere, my daughter comes to me and says to me, Mommy, tomorrow I want to go to church. She's never been to church. Why? He said, I go to school and they say they talk about this Jesus and this and that and they have this thing and so I want to go and I asked Daddy already. He said, yes, he will come and so could you come with me? With my friend, we will go to church on Easter day. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, I don't know what happened. He says, but about 4 months later, on a Sunday morning, my husband raised his hand and got born again. Got baptized in water. He said, about a year later, the church asked people to volunteer. And so we volunteered and we started being part of the cell group. He said, our cell grew so much and things happened and that it just multiplied here and there and so they made us like some kind of leaders, they say. But it kept growing and I don't know what happened, but I just wanted to come and tell you that today we both are pastors and in the last 3 years we have about 400 people in our church. And I said, nothing would have happened if I had not met you that night. And I realized something. Because I was so frustrated and so wanting to push God away and everything. But I don't know, inside just kept going. But he said, it caused me to persevere. I want to close tonight by saying this to you. If there's anything that I can say to you, and if you forget everything that I said to you, if you just walk away one thing, I'll be happy. And that is this. Persevere. With your children, persevere. With your spouse, persevere. With the promises of God, persevere. God will see you through. And tonight, I'm just going to pray a general prayer. But what I want to pray for is I want to pray for families. There's something in my heart in these past few weeks and tonight also, this morning also I was praying and I said, Lord, I don't know how to do this because this is not my normal thing of preaching and things like that. And but I want to pray for families. I want to pray for restoration in families. I want to pray, maybe you have children that are walked away from God. Children, maybe that there's no communication. Your home life is just terrible. I want to say the promises of God are for your family. Maybe you have abuse in the house, in your marriage, or there is abuse that is there, maybe that you feel that you are the child who got saved, but you still have parents that are ungodly. Or maybe you have parents that are not even saved. I want to tell you something tonight that I really feel in my heart, that this season is a season, a new season, especially for restoration in families. And tonight as I pray, I want to tell you that God will begin a work of restoration in families. In families. The promises are true. They are valid. They are yes and amen for your spouse, for your children, for your family to come alive and become life-giving. Would you stand with me tonight? Father, I thank you for the power of your word. My complete, Lord, reliance is on your word. My reliance is in obedience of what you put in my heart to do. And Lord, to the best of my ability and the best of what you put in my heart, Lord, I've done my job. And now I ask Holy Spirit that you do your job. With every individual here, in whatever place that they are in their life. And especially, Lord, when it comes to relationship, when it comes to family matters, and when it comes to those things that they feel they're like fed up. They're at a place of the giving, they're at a place that there's really an emptiness in their families, in their relationships. But Lord, tonight we know your word is true. And tonight, Lord, if there is anything, inject perseverance in the hearts of people. Let me just ask you a question and I'll pray. Maybe tonight you say, Pastor Nicky, yes, I really need a miraculous divine intervention in my family. I am the parent and I have a terrible relationship with my children. Or you might say the opposite, I am the child and I have a terrible relationship with my parents. Or you might say, well, you know, it's between me and my wife. We just have a terrible, maybe my wife doesn't come to church, or you say my husband doesn't behave properly, whatever it is, but it's a family thing. If it's like that, it's not for me to see. But for you to just kind of, if you're like that, just lift up both your hands to God and say, God, I hear your word. I come in agreement and I ask you today for a divine intervention. And so if you're like that, would you just lift up both of your hands to God? Just lift up both of your hands to God in agreement and just open your mouth and ask God right now to intervene, to break through. I know you've been doing it before. It's not that you've not been praying. But I want to say it's a new season. Father, I thank you. And tonight, Lord, you see the hands and you see the hearts and you see the families. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you move on their behalf. That every work of the enemy and every sense of destruction that has taken place, Lord, will be melted away. And there will be just a restoration. And that you'll begin to do new things in the family, I pray, O God. That by the Holy Spirit, that you'd pour out the love of the Father in the hearts of people, I pray. And bring wholeness and newness in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We call it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Nicky. Church, we're going to open the altar to sing the closing song right now. We're going to open the altar for those, perhaps something has been stirring in your heart as you hear the message. You want to claim a promise of God for your family today. And you say, God, this is a promise that you've given to me and my family. I want to claim it again. I want to claim it again. If that is you, as we sing the closing song, I'm going to invite you to come up to the altar and build your altar to the Lord on this side. No one be praying for you on this side. It's between you and God as you lay hold of God for that promise that is given to you and your family. But if you do need someone to pray for you, the leaders, the pastors, the ministers will be on this side to pray for you. So, as we sing this song, you're going to recapture this promise of God for your family. If you're going to build the altar and be on your own, come to this side. If you want someone to pray for you, we will be here. We'll pray for you. Come.
Who is there like you? And who else would give all of creation?
This afternoon, we come before your throne of grace. Lord, would you give us renewed faith to believe in you for the things that you have promised us, for our families and for the people that we love. Lord, we know that this is of your heart. What we have heard today, we know that this is of your heart, Lord. Lord, would you forgive us for times that we have doubted you, for times that we have lost hope, because in you is hope. Lord, help us to rekindle this faith in our hearts once again, that we will believe in you for the things that you have said, for we know that these things will come to pass. We know that you are a God that's faithful to your word and you never ever lie. And so, Lord, give us that renewed passion and that renewed faith to believe in you for the promises that you've given to us and our families. So, Lord, we thank you once again for your love unto us. We thank you for your grace unto us and your promises for us and for our lives. So Lord, as we depart from this place, Help us to hold on to these promises. Help us to walk in faith, not seeing the circumstances around us, but seeing with new faith, eyes of faith, believing in You, no matter the circumstances, no matter what we see around us. And so, Lord, as we depart from this place, send us forth with this faith. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give God a hand for all that He has promised for us. Thank You, Lord. Service is over. The altar is still open. If you need prayer, please come up. If not, thank you for coming. We'll see you next week. Goodbye, and God bless.